All right, today I wanted to share with you something that we were discussing in Sikkim time last Sunday night. And it just occurred to me that these are two powerful pillars that exist in the church today that I feel confuse and disarm the body of Christ. And I think to the degree that you have embraced it, it's doing the same for you. So I want to address them, and they're up there. The question is, does God allow? And oftentimes you'll hear this, sometimes we'll say that. Well, God is allowing this into my life. God is allowing these things to happen. Sometimes the question is, why do good things happen to bad people? Well, God allows it. Why do bad things or good things happen to bad people? Well, God allows it. And I want to deal with that today. And then with that, there's this thing that follows. If God is allowing, as in he's watching by, not doing something about it, he's just letting it happen, then why does God choose, if that is the case, why does God choose if and when he's going to intervene? Why does he answer some prayers and then maybe he doesn't answer others? So those are the two pillars that I want to address today, and I hope that I can do it in such a clear way that there'll never be pillars in your life again. All right? Does God allow when bad things happen to good people? Is he standing by, watching and doing nothing about it? I want you to know that that attitude in itself is a negative in regards to your faith. It's going to diminish the power of your faith. It's going to confuse you. It'll disarm you because you won't know when to resist evil because you don't know if it's God or not allowing it. Well, maybe it's God allowing the demon to come in and beat me up. I'm just speaking, all right? Resisting evil and standing up to threats. You won't know when and how. And you see, when you're in that place of doubt, and that would be doubt, is God allowing it? Am I supposed to stand up against it? Is God permitting it? Am I supposed to resist it? You see, that's back and forth. And if you know James, the book of James at all, it tells you if you're in doubt, you'll receive nothing from God. You're in a place of weakness, in a place of confusion. I can't imagine Jesus being in that situation. Should I cast that demon out? Maybe that's from God. Oh, I think you get that one. Okay. Many people will quote this verse from Romans 8:28. Does God work all things for our good or not? And of course he does. The promise is awesome. For anything that's happened in our life, God will bring about good, make it work for our good. That's a wonderful promise, especially with all the things that happen. But this doesn't mean that God is allowing or disallowing anything. Just because God's working all things in your life doesn't mean he's allowing it. I just want you to understand that. A fundamental truth of dominion. God cannot stop what people decide and the consequences of those decisions. Did you know that? You probably knew that, but maybe you didn't make a connection to realize that dominion means that you get to decide, and what you decide, you get. It's called sowing and reaping. Ever heard of it? It's a law fundamental to the earth that God has set up. Galatians 6, 7, 8. Do not be deceived. Well, we would be deceived, wouldn't we, if we didn't believe in sowing and reaping? We'd be deceived if they that God is allowing and disallowing when we are making the decisions and the consequences of them are coming back on us, as in sowing and reaping. We would be deceived if we don't understand that this is a fundamental truth of the earth. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Many want to take comfort in this truth. Shall I call it a truth? I don't think so. I'll call it a misconception by believing that God is orchestrating all the events in our lives. Now, I'm speaking at one level right now, the God level, the level that he set up dominion on the earth, and man fell. And in that fallenness and in that curse, there is a level going on here. It's called the kingdom of darkness. Kingdom of darkness. And in that kingdom of darkness, God is not the one getting his will done. In the kingdom of darkness, it's man's will being done. It's man's decisions being made. You've got to understand that. God is not going to allow, he's not orchestrating things in your life at that basic level. I'm not talking about being a Christian. I'm talking about the way it operates in the world at the moment. When you become a Christian and you start activating your faith and you start believing God has got control of your life, okay, now we've got a different ball game going on. But at that basic level, understand something. God is not going to allow anything into our lives that we cannot handle as a Christian. Many of you have heard this verse, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. And with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. There we have that word allow. But that's someone who's in covenant with God, someone who knows God, who's born again, who understands faith and grace. But we're talking basically of what's going on in the world today. How many of you know the Lord's Prayer? Fundamental to that prayer is that we are to pray, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, why would we pray that if God's will is being done on the earth? You know, that would be a wasted prayer. But if you understand that God in heaven has everything, every decision, everything that's happening in heaven is perfectly after his will, then it makes sense that we should pray God's will that's being done in the earth or in heaven be done on the earth, because it's not being done here. And when it's not being done here, there are consequences. And God is not orchestrating that. And I know that scares people. And you say, well, what about that comfort that God is sovereign and God is in control? He's in control if you've given him your life. He's not in control if he hasn't. Now that scares people. And they want that comfort that believes that God is orchestrating everything, as if, well, I don't have to worry about it because everything that comes in my way, it's from God. And you know what the enemy does with that? He says, good, I got some things I want you to accept. I got some things I'm bringing your way, and I want you just to take them. Do you understand that can happen to you? And it has been. If you don't understand that God has given us dominion, two kingdoms, two levels. The kingdom of darkness. It's natural. It's not supernatural. It's all the things that are happening that God has set forth in the earth. The things of sowing and reaping. Everything reproduces after its own kind. And then there's the kingdom of heaven, the supernatural kingdom that's come to earth. And how did it come to earth? Through his word, through his son, through Jesus Christ. Christ and salvation changes everything. This puts us in a position to accept God's intervention. Let me just say this. When God set up Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he set them up with the potential to do his will and the potential to not do his will. In setting them up for that potential, you could say that God was allowing for evil. But once he gave dominion to them, once he turned over the keys to the car, he was no longer responsible. He was no longer able to stop. I've used this illustration before. If I gave my daughter a car, and I actually gave it to her, ownership and all, and she decided to use that car any way she wanted, including ways I don't want her to use it, like she goes out and robs a bank or something, I can't stop her. I gave her dominion, ownership of that car. Do you get that? If she goes out and uses it for something bad, like goes out and runs over a bunny rabbit on purpose, I'm not the one making it happen. I would say to her, Holly, don't do it. Julie, don't do it. But they have the right to do it, you see? Because they have ownership. You've got to understand that. I'm not sitting here allowing or disallowing anything. But when I gave her the car, I gave her the potential for it. So you could say, well, you allowed for the potential of it. And God decided that that was worth it. When he gave us dominion, he allowed for the potential of it. But that doesn't make him responsible for taking that potential of, or gift of dominion and using it for evil. You know what evil is? It's just using something that was created for good in ways that God wouldn't use it. This is a good bottle of water, right? But if I take it and I smash Linda's head with it, that would be using something good for evil. And while I'm in the earth, I could. That's why Valerie sat in the back. Valerie sat back there where she wouldn't get reached, you know. If you understand that, that would be true of everything in the earth. So when man decided to use the things that God gave them for evil things, it's not that God is allowing it. He gave authority. He gave dominion. He gave ownership. And when he did that, he lost control. Except when we obey him, when we make the decisions that he would make. He's not back there allowing as if he could stop it. You've got to understand that. Christ brought to us grace and truth and restored our dominion. We were the ones in the driver's seat. We were the ones given dominion. We were given choice. We were given the right to choose. And if God was going to be faithful to that, that meant our decisions and our choices would have true consequences. Otherwise, it's just blowing smoke in our faith and say, oh yeah, you've got dominion. Do whatever you want as long as it's what I want. Sounds like a parent I know. Maybe a parent or two that I know. In fact, that's what I did with my kids when they were young. Put them in a room and maybe mommy went out to get a break from the kids. I baby-proofed the room. When I did that, I was giving them choice. I gave you choice. But they were all my choices. You see? And if I left it that way, when they grew up, they would be dwarfed, retarded. They wouldn't have a chance to grow up, would they? If only they had a baby-proof situation. God gave us dominion, and with that, responsibility. And that responsibility has consequences. It's not that God is allowing anything or disallowing anything. He's saying to us, I wonder if you know these verses. Let me get to them. Anyone know this verse? Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion. Anybody remember that one? It's right at the beginning of your Bible. Let them have dominion over all the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over all the cattle, over all the earth. Huh. Not only did God give us the car, he gave us the earth too. So our decisions. And then Deuteronomy 30:19 spells it out as if we didn't get it. All right? I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. I have set it before you. Therefore, choose life. Please, please choose life. Because if you choose death, there's nothing I can do about it. Because if I stop it, then I lied to you about giving you dominion in the first place. He gave us dominion. It was in our hands, not in his. I talked about the potential of evil. But that doesn't make God responsible for the continuance of it or that it prevails. Why is evil in the earth? Is it because God's decisions are being made? Or is it because of man's? You know the answer. One could argue that God allowed the possibility of evil at the beginning, but one cannot argue, and in truth, argue that God is allowing or disallowing evil to continue. It's in our hands. You know, when God stops evil, he stops the earth. He stops the game. It's over. No more choice. You know why he's not doing that? The scripture says he's waiting to all who are going to accept Jesus Christ as Lord to come into the kingdom before he stops it. Because once he stops it, all decisions are done. There'll be no more evil, no more sin. And whatever state you were in, when that stops, game over, You're in or you're out, depending on what you do with Jesus. You understand that? The video game analogy, I think this is probably the best way to explain it. Someone says, well, God is sovereign. Yeah, he's sovereign. God is almighty. Yes, he is. But he cannot lie. He won't take back what he's given. He is restrained by his own words. Tell me that's not true in your life. Tell me you didn't give a promise to your kid, and when they did something you didn't like, you had to sit there and say, I promised them. I said I wouldn't interfere. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I let them go. I said I wouldn't stop them. And then you're like wanting to stop them, but you said you wouldn't. Anybody know what I'm talking about? All right. Every decision in the game, a video game, is predetermined. Anybody here like to play video games? Really? I'm serious. Anybody here? Why would you play a video game? Everything's predetermined. Everything is programmed in the game. Is it not? There's nothing in the game that's not programmed, right? It's all predetermined, but guess what's predetermined? You get programmed choice. And that's what God did. That's what God did. If you understand that, you understand dominion and God's sovereignty. He cannot allow or disallow once dominion has been given. The video game. But there's a game changer. And this really goes to answer the second question. God is not the one allowing or disallowing anything. He would stop it immediately. But if he does, then salvation is over. You got to know that fundamentally. And if he gets involved and intervenes in a way that you don't give him permission to, he's lied. And he cannot lie. We were in Sandy's house, and Darren was acting up, and I said, you know, I'll get him out of the house if you want. But I can't do it unless you give me permission, Sandy. Sandy, do you want him out? Sandy, I really will help you if you want. And Sandy's not giving me permission. So it would be illegal for me to even touch him. Do you see how that works? God's not allowing or disallowing anything. He's given us his word. He's taught us. He's told us if we obey him, we'll be blessed. That was the old covenant. Now we have a new game changer. This one answers the second question. Why does God choose if and when he's going to intervene? I want you to know something. That's a wrong question. Because it's forgetting that God already decided to intervene before the foundation of the world. He sent his son. It was planned from the beginning. He has helped us. He sent his only begotten son to deliver us from our sin and then make us born again. And he did it in a way without violating dominion. He did it in a way without lying to us. He came to be one of us, to deliver us, to save us, to help us. We who suffered the curse now rule and reign through God's word, through the Holy Spirit, and through faith as we awaken to righteousness. Someone says, well, why doesn't God help me? You're missing that he's helped us. He's given us his word. He's given us his promise. He's made us born again. He's given us his righteousness. We can speak his word. We can speak to the fig tree. We can speak to the winds and the waves. We can do that if we understand it's our dominion that he's restored. And he's come to live through us to get it done. I'm not taking away dominion. I'm restoring yours. Think about it. It's awesome what he's done. He has completely intervened. He has saved us to the uttermost. He has come to be one of us and live in us. Has God intervened in your life? If you're born again, he has intervened amazingly. Amazingly. But why don't we see it? Well, maybe it's because we've been taught a thing or two that's not quite biblical. Maybe we don't understand what it means to be born again. Maybe we don't understand the authority that we were given in dominion. Maybe we don't understand what righteousness has done for us. It means we have 24/7 access, and God hears us every second. And whenever we speak his word according to his will, it's done. But you got to know that. He's not going to override our heart if we're not sure about that. You've got to understand, when we answer these questions, does God allow No, he doesn't allow or disallow anything. He gave the earth to us. Is God choosing if and when he'll intervene? Absolutely not. He already decided to do it. He already decided to forgive you of sins. If you commit a sin right now, are you forgiven? Well, what if God chooses not to? Maybe he decided not to forgive you. Can't do that, can he? Do you know that? He can't do that. Because through the blood of Christ, he forgave all sin. He already did it. You hear that? Well, what if God decides not to heal me? He can't. He can't decide not to. He already did it through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. Do you see that? He's already done it. Well, what if God decides to take away his spirit? He'd have to lie to do it. He said, I'd never leave you nor forsake you. You see, he's already done it. I have helped you. But you've got to believe him. And you've got to act on it. Man, I hope you're getting this. The word of intervention. The word of intervention. The word of intervention. The word of reconciliation. The word of Christ. The word of God. The will of God being done in your life. That's why prayer is so important. That's why speaking the word of God in your life is so important. Because that's God's only way to intervene. Do you know that he cannot intervene to save you until you say something? No one can get saved on planet Earth until they believe in their heart and say it with their mouth that Jesus is Lord. Did you know that? That's what the scripture says in Romans 10, 17, I believe. So God cannot save anyone until they pray a prayer. In whose name? Jesus. Jesus is the great intervention. And you have it in your power. You have it in your dominion. We just haven't understood that, but we're understanding it more and more, and we're awakening to our righteousness more and more. Romans 5:17, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, God could not disallow that. It was his choice. Much more, those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life, will have dominion, will have intervention, will have authority. Through Jesus Christ, you've been given such great authority and power because you're born again. Because you're born again. It changes everything. Man, you got to see that. Why doesn't God intervene? If he had the right to stop bad things, why didn't he? You know, we won't get the right answer from a wrong question. Ever think about that? You ask the wrong question, you won't get a right answer. You might get an answer that seems right, but it won't be the right answer. This question misses the greatest gift of all, that is Jesus Christ. It's not recognizing how God intervened. He intervened through his Son, and he intervened through you being born again, and it changes everything. If you believe, you have received abundance of grace. You have received the gift of righteousness. Your word is as his word. His word is as your word. And you have the right to use his name. You have the right to use his name. You can speak God's will into your life. We can't beat the law. It's as if we've all been trying to play the video game of life and no one can beat it. I'm speaking about natural man, fallen man. And I'm doing this for a moment to show you something. God's intervention is the Messiah. Jesus came and played the video game of life and beat it. Now, when my sons would get a video game when they were growing up, they would obsess over that game. Dad, we got to beat it. We got to beat it. Well, how long is that going to take? I don't know. Well, you only got so much time. But Dad, we got to beat the game. We got to beat the game. We got to beat the game. And they would be after it. I mean, they'd come in the house, boom, right there. Oh, we got to go somewhere, come back in the house, boom, right there, to beat that game. And they would play, and they would go to level, to challenge. You know what I'm saying, right, guys, those who play games? And when they beat it, they're in there celebrating, yoo-hoo! And we're like, what's going on? We beat the game! And what did the game do for them? It gave them this strange thing called cheat codes. Anybody know what I'm talking about, cheat codes? Suddenly, they could put these cheat codes into the game, and they could do things in the game that they couldn't do until they beat the game. Anybody getting this? Oh my gosh. Jesus gave us cheat codes. It's called go in my name. I've given you all power and authority. Use my name and you don't have to reap what you sowed. Use my blood and you don't have to get what you deserve. You get what you believe. That's cheating! You don't get what you sowed? That's cheating! Ah, but not in God's economy, because what you sowed went to the cross. Oh my gosh, I'm just going with that. You got cheat codes. You don't have to be sick. You don't have to be depressed. You don't have to be defeated. You don't have to be. Whereas before, you couldn't beat it on your own. But now that you have him who beat it all, he says, now you go in my name. I give you the cheat codes. I give you my name. You say anything in my name and I will do it. But that's cheating. That's what the devil says. That's cheating. You're taking away all the power of the law. That's cheating. No, that's not really cheating anymore, is it? Because in God's economy, he has made it righteous to make you righteous. Amen? Wow. God gave us cheat codes. It's called prayer in Jesus' name. And you'd be amazed what's in that Bible when it says, I have already given to you all things that pertain to godliness. 2 Peter 1:3. I've already given to you all things that pertain to godliness. What's that? A right relationship with him? Faith to believe him? I give you my peace. That's cheating! I give you my faith. That's cheating! I give you my life. That's cheating! Oh, it's not cheating. It's glorifying to God. He beat the game and it'll give you the privilege of it. So, when I went to play that game with my boys, I want that cheat code. Because I ain't beating that game. Give me that cheat code. And they plug it in for me because they beat the game. Awesome grace. His intercession is huge. He takes us from being under all things to above all things in Jesus Christ. He came to reproduce himself as a seed reproduces itself with thousands. You surely have heard this verse. If not, you ought to listen to it now. John 12:24. Most assuredly, I can't tell you any more adamantly. I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls, which was Jesus, into the ground and dies when he was crucified, dead, and buried, and rose again, it remains alone. If Jesus never died, he would remain 30 years old for eternity, but he would be alone. Got it? But he died, and it produced much grain. And anyone who's born again is the much grain. And guess what? When a seed, like wheat, falls into the ground and reproduces wheat, it produces other seeds that are just like it. Did you ever notice that? Romans 8:29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. It's saying the same thing. He's the firstborn. He's reestablished connection. I want you to consider the just as statements I've given you before, but just as, there's a lot of them in Scripture. Just as Jesus was one with the Father, he's made us one with him. Just as the Father sent him, he sent us. Just as, just like, nothing less, nothing more, but oh my gosh, what it is awesome. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I send you. And how was he sent? He did awesome things. Oh, can we do that? He said we could. And then he says, I'm sending you to do the same thing. But that's cheating. I wasn't born that way. But I was born again. I was born again. I get to use his name. You know, I got more to say on that, but we're going to stop right there. Just want you to know, God is not allowing or disallowing anything. And he's already intervened to the uttermost. You got to understand that. So, what does that mean? That means you can have confidence that as you submit to God and resist the devil, he will flee from you. You can have confidence that it's not God allowing or disallowing anything. He's waiting on you to use your dominion to not allow or disallow. You follow me? I think I repeated myself there. He's waiting on you. Some of us are saying, God, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. And God's saying, I've done it all. I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. You say, you speak, you do. Oh, you got to get that. You got to know that. That's your dominion. That's your authority. Amen. We're going to go to the communion. Come on up, Adele. And what are we doing with communion? We're identifying with a new covenant. We're identifying with a new authority, a new dominion, a new name, a new way. We're given authority. And when you partake, you're partaking of a new kingdom. And you get to cheat death. You get to cheat the curse. You get to cheat sickness and disease. And when you take of communion, you're embracing that covenant. Awaken to righteousness. Awaken.